welcome.
Okay,
welcome, everybody, and welcome to the CKDU and Dalhousie Gazette special, very special presentation here on CKDU. It's 9:19 in the evening, and we're bringing this to you thanks to DJ Anderok from Mad Sessions for donating her showtime for this very special evening panel discussion. We have four guest panelists in the interview room in the studio with us here, and we also have members of the Dalhousie Gazette. So first, two of my co-journalists with me are Bethany Horn, the opinions editor from the Dal Gazette, and Julie Sobowal, the editor-in-chief from the Dal Gazette. So thanks very much for coming out to tonight's debate and online live panel discussion. Also in the interview room with us, in the other studio adjacent to us, we have four live panelists who have all graciously agreed to come to CKDU tonight to share their perspectives on in an ongoing conflict, or you know, more than one conflict going on, but definitely discussions that have caught the students' attention here at Dalhousie University. And at CKDU, we're really proud to be able to bring live coverage from the affected parties and get their voices heard on the air. So let me introduce our panelists. We have Daniel Boyle, who is the Vice President Internal from the Dalhousie Student Union, with us in the studio. We have Angela Day, who is the Campaigns Coordinator from the Nova Scotia Public Interest Research Group, NSPIRG. We have Jonathan Moulet, who is a member of the Students Mobilizing for Action on Campus, also a group who has appeared recently, and also behind the motions that were brought to the Dalhousie Annual General Meeting a few weeks back. And as well, we have Colin Conrad from the Stop NSPIRG campaign, who has been behind the NSPIRG motion that was brought to the Annual General Meeting on March 11th. And just so our listeners know, all of these issues are relevant because on April 1st, at 6:30 p.m., there is the subsequent general meeting of the Dalhousie Student Union. All Dalhousie students have the right to vote, and they will be voting on the motions that we are going to be discussing tonight. So for any Dal student, please do stay tuned and stay with us as we'll be discussing these issues and hopefully opening up a forum for debate that can happen before the annual general meeting, so that this ball can get rolling. So we are dividing it into two formats. In the first, we're going to be asking each of the four panelists a question directed to them and their organization. They'll have 3 minutes to respond, and there will be no space for rebuttal, but we'll move on to each candidate one after the, or each panelist one after the other. And then in the second part of the portion of the broadcast tonight, we'll have a chance for open questions that'll be directed to all four panelists, after which there'll be chances for 1 minute rebuttals. Each of the answers by the panelists will be moderated strictly by time. Each will have 3 minutes to answer the first round of questions, and then perhaps 2 to 3 minutes for the second round of questions, depending on how much time we have. So, without further ado, and I would like to jump right in to the first round of questions. My first is for Daniel Boyle, the Vice President of the Internal of the Dalhousie Student Union. So, on March 11th, the DSU convened their annual general meeting, and many people have said it's undemocratic, including Mark Coffin from the DSU, another executive himself. Tell us how you felt, in what ways the AGM was or was not democratic or undemocratic.
Well, I think the points raised by Mark Coffin are legitimate concerns, and obviously there are flaws in any system that we can look to rectify over time. This particular AGM was probably the best attended and most controversial AGM we've had in years, if ever, at the DSU. Some of the issues that did rise in regards to what you're talking about included freedom of the press. There was an issue where a member of the Gazette was escorted out ultimately by police. This was an unfortunate incident, but in advance of the meeting, the Gazette and CKDU and a few media sources have been contacted to nominate members to attend. The Gazette was given to non-DSU members allowed, and the individual in question was not, for instance, one of these nominated members. The issue then became, okay, we've got members in the room, or non-members in the room, who would like to observe the proceedings, but given the huge number of students and the volatile nature of some of the motions, the controversial nature of them, to protect the integrity of the vote, we had to take take some measures to protect that. There are some updates to how the meeting will be conducted next time on April 1st, as you mentioned at the top of the program there, including a room that's being set aside for outside observers to host a live feed, so they know what's going on in the room. The ability of individuals who are non-members who wish to speak with special knowledge on any issues that are coming forward to contact our council chair in advance. His contact details are available on the DSU website, and he can make allowances for that at his discretion. The ability for press to contact our communications coordinator in advance to be at the back of the room. There were several issues that did come out of the first AGM that could have been handled better, but we are attempting to rectify those for the subsequent AGM.
Thank you, Daniel, for your answer. We'll move right on to the next panelist. With us is Angela Day, resource coordinator for NSPIRG. Angela, NSPIRG has come under fire recently through the Stop NSPIRG campaign for its political positions, and has one of the things has been the protest of Lockheed Martin at the career fair. Tell us about NSPIRG's stance on Lockheed Martin, and tell us NSPIRG's position about what happened on that day.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank Andrea for the wonderful reggae in between all this talking, because those are some awesome tunes. In terms of NSPIRG and Lockheed Martin, NSPIRG's structure is we have two staff members, a board of directors, and then working groups. Working groups do a lot of the activity because they're students who want to get engaged in justice issues. The Students' Coalition Against War decided that they would like to pass out information in a creative, engaging way at the Dalhousie Career Services Fair because Lockheed Martin was going to be there recruiting students. NSPIRG did not take a stance on whether Lockheed Martin should be there or not. SCA did, the Students' Coalition Against War, but the big question remains is that should students have access to information about the institutions that are recruiting students for jobs? In a critical environment, I would say yes, and NSPIRG does promote critical thought and critical engagement. Therefore, students showed up to pass out information about Lockheed Martin being a war profiteer. They're the biggest arms manufacturer in the world. They make huge profits during the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan. They sold weapons during the recent assault in the Gaza Strip. No matter what your politics are, you know, thousands of people have died while they have made money off of this process. It's important for students to know that before they decide where to work. So that's my stance on the career fair.
Okay. You have another minute and a half if you wish to continue, or if you're done, we can just move on.
Can I expand to other things, or?
In a minute and 20 seconds, yes.
All right, I'll just wait, I think. Or okay, I got a minute and 20 seconds, I see. So I would just like to say that I think that in any democratic society, the right to protest is not a radical thing. It is an amazing, incredible, vibrant thing to have students that want to get out, to have citizens that want to get out and speak, that don't have to rely on the corporate media and other institutions to say what they want to say. That is an amazing feature of a democratic society, and I would love to see that grow and foster and be fostered at Dal. That's all I have for now.
Okay, thank you for your answer. Thanks very much. We'll move on to the next panelist. Colin Conrad is a member of the Stop NSPIRG campaign. Colin, tell us about the one of the main things that seems to be in the Stop NSPIRG campaign is this issue of accountability. In what way should NSPIRG be accountable, and in what way should Stop NSPIRG be an accountable campaign as well?
All right, thanks a lot. More than anything, so you're asking two questions here. You're asking about how we should make NSPIRG accountable, and the second one is how our campaign should be held accountable. I'm actually going to answer the second question first before moving on to how we should be holding NSPIRG accountable, because there's actually a lot that has to be discussed about our organization before we can get into some of the details about why we should be reforming NSPIRG. So the first thing that I want to make a distinction about right now is that our campaign is actually one that is only united on three issues. We're united on being critical of NSPIRG, We're united on the idea of the referendum, and we're united on the idea of the motion. All else, we all have different incentives for or different reasons for wanting to criticize NSPIRG, and more than anything, we are quite a diverse group of people. So holding that in mind, how we should be held accountable through our organization in answering this question is, right now we don't have very much of a structure whatsoever. All people involved in the organization have equal say on all sorts of ideas. We're quite a rabble as it is right now. We're a very participatory bunch, and we're pretty grassroots about how we started organizing this protest group and how we actually got things going. More than anything, our Stop NSPIRG campaign is a demonstration of how students can protest about certain issues without having to resort to groups like NSPIRG. Now, answering the second question about NSPIRG and how NSPIRG should be held accountable, what I'm going to do is I'm going to outline some pretty important things that I've noticed about NSPIRG. So getting in this, so far my experience has been with NSPIRG is that they haven't been very they haven't been very cooperative about advertising their opt-out option. And what I mean by haven't been very cooperative so far is that I'm going to illustrate what I had to do to make my opt-out option work. I had to go through three sets of emails and go to NSPIRG's office twice, one of which time I was snubbed by the NSPIRG people and my inability to actually get out there and have my opt-out go on. Now, what we mean by accountability is I can't help but notice that NSPIRG so far has been receiving their levy without referendum, without direct accountability to students, and hasn't had the question pushed in over 19 years. So we believe here on the Stop NSPIRG front that more than anything, NSPIRG has so far been had its levy that has been ignored, or sorry, its levy has been held for a very long time, and that it's about time that we bring the questions directly to the students so that they can have a say in something that happened over 19 years ago that they have no say currently about going through. Beyond that, having NSPIRG held accountable, we just believe that participatory democracy is being compromised by this organization.
And that's the time. Okay, thanks for the answer, Colin Conrad. Up next is Jonathan Moulet, who is the who is a member of SMAC, which is Students Mobilizing for Action on Campus. Now, Jonathan, please tell us about the motions that SMAC put forward at the March 11th annual general meeting of the DSU. In particular, there was an anti-war motion. There was a motion to divest from CASA, which is the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. Tell us about these motions, or whichever motions you feel are most important. Tell us about why SMAC put them forward. What's behind that?
Sure, Dave. Regarding the military motion, it's difficult to speak about that one in particular without also raising the question of the motion put forward against the corporatization of campus. And the reason that you can't talk about one without the other is, unfortunately, they're quite conflated. Lockheed Martin, as was mentioned earlier on, are a prime example and a great place to start talking about that issue. Essentially, SMAC has a problem with the with what it is to be academic being compromised by external agendas, particularly those of the Canadian military at the moment, and corporate interests on campus. And the reason we have an issue with that is because the idea, the project of the academy is to have knowledge for the sake of knowledge. And when you introduce the agenda of a corporate interest to seek to profit, then what you've got is what you end up with is a mandate on research which produces research which is profitable, and not all research is. And so right away you compromise the idea of knowledge for the sake of knowledge. What the military enters into that is that, we have the Royal Canadian Military College for a reason. It's because, that's paid for with tax dollars. If you introduce the idea of a military agenda into the academic environment, then what you're supporting is the conflation of force, of violent force, and knowledge, and that is an irresponsible and undemocratic and frankly uncivilized way to conduct yourself. In the House's case, we currently accept over $78,000 a year, $780,000 a year from the Canadian military. And what you would think is that would go to supporting scientific research in favor of for the military, but in fact it doesn't. In fact, it goes towards political science and IDS faculties. And part of that agreement for receiving that funds is that we Dalhousie has to have at least 22 has to have at least 20 classes on campus that's contain 50% curriculum dedicated to military defense, and that information is not even part of the syllabus in the first place. So students aren't even aware of that mandate. So what you see then is this money coming in and immediately putting in a position on the way students learn and also the honesty with which that information comes to them. So SMAC's position on this is we want to stand for academic integrity. We want to stand for learning that's not compromised. And to that end, we are calling out upon our DSU to take that impetus to Dalhousie on our behalf and keep our learning pure.
Thanks very much, Jonathan, for that answer. And that completes our first round of answers from our four panelists who've graciously come out to do this with us. We're going to cut to a song. DJ Andorok is here with us. After that, we've got some questions from the Dalhousie Gazette. So do stay tuned. We'll be right back with this panel.
Not even the dogs that twist against the walls of Babylon shall escape the wrath I come to pour. And I shall burn them and burn them continuously, for they never cease to oppress the poor. Oh, plea my cause, O Jah, and let me stand firm when the wicked rise against me. Order my steps, O Jah. The way is dark and I'm alone, but still I fear no foe, no. Cause now is not the time to sleep or turn the other cheek. All the wicked in a Babylon stew, yeah, if you're weak. Whoa, play my cards, oh Jah, and let me stand firm.
We're back on the air, live on air, at CKDU 88.1 FM, www.ckdu.ca, on the internet, broadcasting from the fourth floor of the Dalhousie Student Union Building. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We're doing a special live panel presentation with four panelists with us. Daniel Boyle from the Dalhousie Student Union, Angela Day from NS Perg, Jonathan Muley from SMAC, Students Mobilizing for Action on Campus, and Colin Conrad from the Stop NS Perg campaign. I'm going to turn it over to my co-journalists, Julie Sobowal and Bethany Horn from the Dalhousie Gazette, who are going to ask the next series of questions. They'll function similarly. Each panelist will be asked an individual question, and they will have 3 minutes exactly to answer, after which we'll move on to the next panelist. We're going to go in the opposite order of the first round. So we're starting with Jonathan Muley, and Julie's going to ask the first question. Julie.
All right, my first question here is for John. So why was the apology motion written and put forward, given that many of the former DSU executives that the motion references are no longer on campus?
Hi, Julie. Yeah, I'd be happy to field that question. The simple answer is we're not asking for an apology from particular individuals. We're asking an apology from our student union, and they have a history. Every year, the outgoing and the incoming members of the DSU, the executive, are intimately connected and have a period of changeover where they pass on the throne, so to speak. To that end, what we've seen is several years now of an increasing conservativization, frankly, of our DSU, and we've seen numerous acts by the DSU through several different executives who have utterly failed to respond to the needs of students, and in many cases to the demands of students, and unfortunately that needs to be responded to. The idea behind an apology motion is to implement that in some way that's visible and formal, and that requires the DSU to actually acknowledge the failure that's been going on now for some time. It's not a complete and utter failure in all respects. We're not suggesting that the DSU are somehow woefully incompetent or anything like that. But what we have seen is a DSU who have voted in favor of raising tuition in previous years. We've seen in the relationship with CASA and ANSA, there are alternative associations for student unions and available, but we continue to work with these groups whose approach to acting on behalf of students is entirely based around lobbying behind closed doors, without giving access to students themselves or without taking any kind of on the ground action. And this isn't effective, frankly. And this has been brought before the DSU before, and then to no avail. So to that end, we've demanded an apology from the DSU because they are our union. They're not the position of the executive is not a lottery for power on campus. Rather, it's a responsibility to the students of Dalhousie. They are elected, unfortunately not by a large enough portion of the student body, to be fair, and they need to represent the interests of students rather than the interests of a few or a particular group of students or what suits themselves. So to that end, we're asking for an apology, not to be excessively confrontational, but to get this message out in the only way possible, which is at the within the constitutional frame that we're forced to work within.
Okay, thank you very much, Jonathan, for your answer. Jonathan Muley from SMAC. The next question is directed to Colin Conrad from Stop NS Perg campaign, and Bethany's going to be asking this question. Bethany.
Hi. There have been reports of libel on your website. What is your reaction to such claims?
Do you want to just repeat the question?
I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
There have been reports of libel on the website for the Stop NS Perg campaign. I'd like to know your reaction to these claims.
Okay, yes. Now, the Stop NS Perg campaign is primarily put forward through a website. And with a website, especially one that's going to be practicing a type of participatory democracy, a type of soapbox type of standard, you're going to see a lot of libelous claims be made by individuals who are trying to voice their opinions, even though their opinions aren't necessarily grounded in fact. A lot of these libelous claims have been amended on the website when they have been brought to our attention. A prime example of which has been when somebody was accusing a group of being anti-Semite. Now, I do believe this group was NS Perg. This is not exactly true and has been deemed slanderous by our organization has been changed to anti-Israeli, which is in fact quite based in a number of quotations that have been gathered about SCA and related other NSPIRG work groups. Beyond that, there have been some other examples that I can't think of on the top of my head, but if there is ever an accusation about slander, we take it very seriously and try to amend it as soon as we possibly can, because we're trying to actually campaign for a sort of truth and a sort of transparency that we're not seeing come from the organization that we're being critical of. And more than anything, we do not want to be hypocritical. I think that's all I'll say.
Okay, thank you, Colin, for your answer. The next question is for Angela Day from NSPIRG, and Bethany has the question for you.
Hi, Angela. My question for you is, why is NSPIRG an opt-out society, and why isn't it opt-in?
All right, so NSPIRG, contrary to the belief of Colin here, is a very accountable organization. We have a board of directors that's elected. We have two staff members and a budget. We also work on long-standing campaigns with community members. And so for NSPIRG not to know how much money is coming in from year to year, how are we supposed to maintain those relationships and offer continual support to different groups? How are we supposed to maintain our space, our staff? How are we supposed to hire anyone without a consistent budget? Our budget is developed in a participatory way and voted on by students at our AGM. This year we had almost 100 people, which was awesome. So those are the constraints of NSPIRG being an opt-in society. The viability of opt-out works really well because any student can opt out and get their $2 per term back. I'm not sure what Colin's talking about when he said NSPIRG people were difficult, because there are two people that work in the office, Asif Rashid and myself, Angela Day, and we work within an anti-oppression framework so that no one is discriminated against. I would prefer to be called by my name. We have mechanisms to deal with any complaints or concerns about NSPIRG through our anti-oppression policy, through our board, and through our working group policy, our hiring policy, etc. As a student organization in a city which is in a have-not province, it is having $2 per term per student adds to the vibrancy of the entire Halifax community. A lot of students come into Dalhousie every year and leave after 4 years. By providing a levy to a long-standing community organization, they promote the sustainability of any social and environmental justice activism in Halifax, which is really an amazing thing. By taking that away, would seriously impact community and student engagement in Halifax.
Okay, thank you very much for your answer, Angela Day. The next question is directed to Daniel Boyle from the DSU, and it's coming from Dalgazette's Bethany. Oh, Beth.
Yeah. The annual general meeting on March 11th revealed a lot of evidence of radically diverse opinions in the student body. Knowing what you know now about student opinion, how can student union leadership move forward?
Well, on this issue, there is a huge diversity of opinion, as that meeting clearly showed. I've had numerous emails over the course of the last week from individuals who are voting members of the union who are going to be unable to attend the AGM on the 1st of April. They've wondered if we have an alternate method or mechanism for them to vote at the AGM, because they want to vote on this issue specifically. There is no mechanism in place, nor can there be, based on our constitution, for an annual general meeting. In my own personal view, the lack of attendance at an AGM would deny the benefit of knowledge from debate and discussion that might ensue for the ultimate vote. Nonetheless, these students are willing and ready to vote on the matter. The issue has strongly polarized campus. There is a petition put round by Stop NSPIRG right now to put the issue back to referendum, and that may in the long term be the most viable option to put ultimate closure to the issue. I think it's something that the incoming executive can work with stop Innisburg SMAC and Innisburg on to determine wording that will be suitable and appropriate to all groups concerned that would ultimately bring closure to the issue, like I say, and might be the only mechanism we have to end the roundabout discussions, the allegations, the accusations, and the polarization of campus that is making Dalhousie a fairly unhealthy atmosphere at present.
Okay, thank you very much, Daniel, for your answers, and thanks to the questions from our co-journalists here from the Dal Gazette. DJ Andorok's going to play us a song again, and we'll be right back after this with another series of questions that'll be general questions for all the panelists, including an opportunity for rebuttals. So for those listeners out there, you're listening to CKDU 88.1 FM, either on the radio or on the internet. Stay tuned, we've got more.